Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Magical Boys, and this week I have a very special guest that is filling in for Ruben while he is in Japan. Fuck off, Ruben, having a great time in Japan with your girlfriend. You better bring me back Sailor Moon everything, but I've got the one, the only, Rakim Cunningham from Podcast of Color.
I'm back, bitches.
Yes, I'm so happy that you agreed to do this with me, and I've been wanting to record with you again because we had such a great time last time.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to replace Ruben, you know.
He's going to be so sad when he listens to this episode.
He's like, it's okay. He's going to be like, this episode's so fucky. Like, I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be a black-ass mess.
It's going to be a black-ass
The Magical
ass
Boys
time.
Black Negro Special.
Yes, I'm so into this. And we're both drinking wine.
What are you drinking?
Oh, I'm just drinking some cheap-ass pink Moscato that I got from this fucking
Moscato.
Safeway.
Wow, okay. I know. This is a Drake video all of a sudden? Like, I'm drinking rosé, so I can't say much. Like,
yes. Well, cheers. Digital cheers from NorCal to SoCal.
Digital cheers. Don't spill on the keyboard.
Yes. Yeah, let me not. Let me not do that, because it'll be a mess.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But okay, so let's jump right into it.
Okay.
So what have you... Rakim Cunningham. Mm-hmm.
That's okay. First, it's so funny when you say my name because you always say my last name too, and I'm just like, it sounds so proper, you know, like
so proper.
Like I have a staff at my at my state. what have I been playing? I mean, the only real thing I've been playing is Overwatch, and I've been playing with y'all, and
right.
And we have this little group that you mentioned before called Petty Watch.
Yes,
and it's me, you, and then Ruben played last time, and then some other bitches that don't matter. And no, it's been really fun. And yeah. I've started to do more competitive because I really want May's golden gun. Like, I'm like, you know, do I have the time to get it? No, but will I get it? Yes.
Yes, exactly.
And so I really want that. And I don't know. I mean, other than that, I also started playing Final Fantasy IX. I just got it not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And then, like I was telling you before we started recording, I finished and bought and finished Danganronpa 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I watched the anime. Like, I was obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I actually found out what it was because you were talking about it on the show. And for some reason, I thought it was like Phoenix Wright in like a cooking game. I don't know why Danganronpa sounds like something that it sounds like Cooking Mama to me. Yeah. Like, it sounds like it would be that. So so I got the game and then I played it and I was obsessed. Like, it's so good.
I remember when you got it and then you first started tweeting about it, and I was like, bitch, are you fucking shook yet or what?
Oh my god. See, because you haven't played the second one, and that one blows the first one out of the water. I was like, the twist in the second one, I haven't felt like that since Beyonce dropped an album, like, out of the blue. Okay. And I was like, it actually reminded me of, do you read Attack on Titan?
No, I haven't read the manga or anything, and not in a minute.
Oh, wait, so are you only, like, where the anime is?
Yeah, only where the anime was. I didn't get past that.
Never mind.
No, you can spoil it for me.
I truly can't, because if I spoil this for you and I spoil it for listeners, they will kill me because...
it's that crazy.
Attack on Titan is just best watched or read. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing?
So we've been playing Overwatch with you, and it's been fucking amazing. Like... We were playing the other day, and it was just, like, for 30 minutes, it was all of us just on mic, like, this, who said that? Who said that?
Who said that?
Who has been saying that for, like, 45 minutes? And my fiance just, like, got up. I was like, I gotta go to the room and read.
He's like, we will not have it. We will not have it. We will not have it. It's just our barking. Just like, woof, woof.
Yeah, just a gaggle of gays. Who said that?
It just sounds like chickens clucking.
It really does.
I feel like every time we do that, we sound like the chickens in Ocarina of Time. Like, when you, like, go into whatever the village, Kakariko.
Kakariko village, you think?
There you go.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, that one.
And you know, and you're like, and oh, wait, is that where the chickens are? The chicken den? And they're just like, bark, 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 like that.
It's just us. Oh, man. Yeah, so we've been playing that, which has been so much fun. And we've talked about this on the show before, where, like, how online gaming is kind of like a shit show, especially if you're, like, not a straight white man.
Yeah.
So, you know, microaggressions and all that shit. But it's so nice to be playing Overwatch with a bunch of gays and voice chat together. And we're just having a fucking good time. It's a safe space for all of us. And we can just,
most,
like,
of us,
be ourselves and all of that. It's great. I love that. Because I'd stopped playing for a little bit. I didn't play it nearly as much as I used to. But then when we started doing this whole Petty Watch thing, I'm like, I got really back into it again. So it's been an awesome experience playing with you guys. So it's been probably the best online experience for a game that I've had in a long time.
It also keeps you really sharp on, like, you know, your shade throwing and, like, your comebacks. And
it really does. Because these bitches in our group, like,
listen,
daggers.
That you can't, like, this, like, I can tell, this is problematic maybe, but I can tell that everyone in our group, like, probably wasn't hugged enough because they're all just like, like affection, niceness, what a kindness. Who, no, who, trash.
Who does,
like,
who does that? No, that is trash. You're garbage.
Like, I look nice. Who said that? Trash. Bye.
Oh my gosh. But besides Overwatch, I've been playing a shit ton of Monster Hunter World now that I finally found a weapon that I actually like.
Okay, so can you explain like how the game works? Because I'm not really familiar. I've kind of heard you talk about it, but I don't get what's the objective?
Okay, so in Monster Hunter, essentially it's kind of MMO-ish.
Okay.
Kind of. So have you ever played, like, Phantasy Star Online or anything like that before?
Failed miserably, but I'm familiar.
Okay, yeah, so it kind of gives... I mean, I've always been searching for the thing that replaces Phantasy Star Online.
Oh, your fiancé?
And... cause, like,
yikes. He's like, yeah, no.
No. Like, yeah, I just... Oh, man. Like, Phantasy Star Online was, like, my shit for when I was in high school. Just on the Dreamcast playing on dial-up all day, every day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was...
That sounds horrid.
It was horrible, but also amazing at the same time. So Monster Hunter is kind of set up like an MMO where there's a main story campaign where you are this new hunter and we're discovering this new world, and you're basically sent on missions to go discover the new animal wildlife and figure out how we can stop these dragons from attacking. Because essentially there's this thing called an elder dragon that is, like, making its way through this world, and it's basically destroying anything in its path because it's a fucking dragon and it doesn't give a shit about humans, so it's just doing its thing.
I don't blame it.
Yeah, it's like, I was here before you, so...
It's also like, have you seen humanity? Day. Like, trash, so...
Exactly. So, basically, you're on missions to go, like find, research different monsters, find monsters, kill them, and all that stuff. So it's kind of like playing, like, World of Warcraft or something like that, but it's a lot more active. And you customize your own hunter, you can, like, be a guy or a girl or whatever, and then the only thing that sucks about it is that there's, like, one body type for both characters.
Oh, so, and it's, like, it's skinny, right?
Yeah, it's, like, fit.
Trash.
And I'm like, I wish you could do stuff with that. But this is, like, the first Monster Hunter game that I've played where you can actually make a black person and they actually look black, so...
Wait, what about the hair? What about the hair?
Oh, the hair options are trash. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, you know it's a Japanese game because it's like there's barely any options for black people in the game.
Yeah, true.
So while they modeled really great, like, black faces and have, like, wide noses and big lips and, like, other features that actually, you know, look like people of color for once in one of these games, the hair options are garbage. So the only option for that's, like, anywhere close to, like, a quote-unquote black hairstyle is to be bald.
Well,
like y'all could even get like a fade.
What do they even call the bald hair? So I feel like it's, like, normally to, like, a monk or something, and they're like, I guess the niggas can have it. Like,
this is for them, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, well, I guess my character's always wearing a fucking helmet all the time anyway, so you wouldn't see the hair to begin with. But I made a girl because I didn't like the options for the guy, so I made a girl, and one of the hairstyles is super fucking cute. It's, like, half braids, and then, like, the other part is just, like, waves and weave and beautiful, like,ness.
Oh, that's really, like Kalayla wears. Oh, wait, no, not Kalayla, because she doesn't braid her hair. Who am I thinking of? Cassie.
Yes, it's kind of like Cassie.
Yes.
Have you seen the character Laura in Street Fighter V? She's got, like, half
yes. braid. Yes, she does, like, capoeira. Wait, no. No, that's...
Kind of. She's from Brazil, but she doesn't do capoeira. Kind of.
Laura
she kind
of Street. But you know what's so great about it? I can Google this
you can
right
Google her real
now.
Quick.
Google is free. Laura. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, come
that
through.
Hairstyle, and then you have, like, braids on the other side, like dangling down. It's really cute. So that's what I have right now for
wait
her.
A minute. And... Who is this? Come through, mama. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She's
I'm...
a... Yeah, are you like shaking?
I'm
She's
shaking.
Amazing.
Like Sombra who? Like, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
Wow.
But yeah, so the game's been really fun. So basically what you do, you go to the quest board, you take a mission, which requires you to either like go gather materials or like hunt a monster and bring back parts or whatever to progress the story. But where it starts to get fun is that you have 14 different weapons that you can choose from. So ranging from like close range weapons to mid range to long range weapons. And you can like level them up, customize them, forge different weapons, all that kind of shit. So it's very much like a traditional RPG, where you get to craft your own armor and mm-hmm. all this shit and everything. It's really fun. I like it. But Monster Hunter's been around since like the PlayStation 2 era.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And yeah, it's been around for a super long time. And I think it really gained a lot of popularity in the West when the games came over to the 3DS. Mm. And I could be wrong too, because I wasn't really like a super huge Monster Hunter fan up until like this point. Because I've tried playing Monster Hunter in a couple of different occasions and just really fucking hated the controls.
Oh.
So
know that feel.
Yeah, so I downloaded the demo for Monster Hunter World before it came out because I had like an open beta for people to try it.
Okay.
And I'm like, if this game doesn't have a fucking targeting system to where I can just like, this is the monster that I want to attack and have the camera focus on that. Because before in other games, I didn't really have that, which is annoying. I felt like the game was like deliberately like hard for no reason. So this one is a lot more accessible, and I think it's found a lot of popularity in Western markets now that it's on PS4. The graphics are really nice. It's just really fucking fun. I like it a lot.
And they put like one of the characters in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and or like a Monster Hunter in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and. She looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that's who I used in that game. Like, the Monster Hunter character was, like, my favorite character to play as in Marvel's Capcom Infinite.
Do you still play it?
No. Especially not after... Since Dragon Ball FighterZ came out, I haven't touched
Damn. Marvel found dead in a ditch. Dang. Yeah. I don't know if Marvel's... you guys talked about this before, but did you see how Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite isn't even on, like, the tournament circuit?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not even. It's not at Evo this year, and it's not even on Capcom Pro Cup Tour.
Do they have Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Marvel isn't represented at all in Capcom Cup.
Oh my god!
This is the first time in years that a Marvel game hasn't been at Evo, which is wild.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is what got me into esports. Like in college when I didn't have friends, like that's what I would do. And oh my god, that's shocking to me.
Marvel 3 was super fun to watch competitively. It looks like we had a little audio snafu here, so after this quick break, we'll be right back with more show.
So, yeah, so, like, I didn't have friends, and so I would play, I was going to say MVC3 because internet. I used to play that, like, in college, and then what ended up happening was, like, I would watch, like, a ton of esports, and then I had a friend who I would play Smash with, and I was just like, oh, you know, like, I think I even mentioned this before last time I was here. I was, like, I would just talk a bunch of shit, and I would play, and then, like, when we would play fighting games, I'd be like, oh, I'm so good, and then he was, like, the second ranked in California or something like that, and, like, was, like, wave dashing, and I'm just like, what is this? So,
what's happening?
Yeah, so it's just sad that Marvel's not there just because it, I don't know, it's just near and dear to my heart, and it's what got me into, like, watching a lot of sports and like Overwatch League and all that stuff. So
yeah, I think that was Marvel was like a huge entry point for a lot of people. So I'm right there with you. Like I played a lot of that all through college. We, like, I was in our fighting game club in college, so we we played everything. We played Smash, we played, like, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, like, all that shit. So, yeah, like, I think that was a huge entry point for everyone, for a lot of people, but, yeah, it's sad to not see a Marvel game represented in any capacity at EVO.
Truly.
This year, but, I mean, when you half-ass a game,
that's, when you do clownery,
the clown comes back to bite.
Bingo. Do you think that they're gonna like revamp it, kind of like how they did Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, or like start on a new game, or do you think that's it?
Ooh, I don't know. I think that the game can be salvaged. I think that a lot of it can be salvaged if they do like an ultimate version of the game, but they just like started off on such a bad foot.
Yeah.
I want to put faith in Capcom to say that they can bounce back from that. Time will only tell if they do or not, but you can't release a fighting game in 2018 when you've got games like Dragon Ball FighterZ and Injustice that are like fully packaged games from the jump off.
Right.
Like you can't do what they did at this point.
Do you feel like it's part of DLC's fault that a lot of games are made like that? Because to me, the concept of like downloadable content is so crazy to me still, because mm-hmm. I just remember thinking like when games were released before, they were full games, and not mm-hmm. to say that they didn't have their issues, but they were full games. And I feel like now you can release a game and then you can not complete something and be like, oh, whatever, I can just patch it later. And it's like, I don't know if I like that as much. Like, I mean, I do to an extent, because like Overwatch, for example, like you can add characters and stuff, but
right,
like Final Fantasy 15, for example, like that was a game where I was so excited about it, and then like it came out and it was like clearly not finished, and mm-hmm. they're still like doing DLC for it, and I'm just like, why didn't you just take the extra year and then just have it come out this year and then just put right. all that stuff in it normally, because the game suffered so badly from it, you know? So I don't know. Yeah. Like
I want to say yes and no, right? Because there are some games and some companies that handle DLC stuff really well. Like, I think Nintendo does a really good job of all their DLC stuff. Like, I'll use Splatoon as an example. Like, out of the box, Splatoon is a pretty complete game. And all the quote-unquote DLC content that's been added onto the game has all been free. Like, all the new guns, the new maps, and all that stuff have been free. This, at the most recent Nintendo Direct that just happened a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
this is the first time that they're doing, like, a paid DLC expansion for the game. And the game's been out for quite some time. It's been almost a year the game's been out, which is crazy to even think about, that Splatoon's almost been out that long.
Yeah, but I feel like it's longer than that, honestly.
Yeah, so some companies do it right, others don't. It's all this whole trend about games, quote-unquote, being a service. So, with Street Fighter V is a prime example of that, because Capcom was very, very transparent when they said that Street Fighter V, we want to treat it as a service. So, basically meaning they release a product, and it is what it is at launch, and then they can keep adding more content on top of that for how they set up the game. And in some cases, I don't mind that too much. In some other cases, I do. Like, in fighting games, I think, like, a 16-character roster is slim, but it's okay. Anything less than 10 characters is ridiculous to me, but 16 was like a decent size roster, because I think some of the older Street Fighter games maybe had 10 to 12 characters.
Right.
When those games came out. So something like that, it's fine. But when it's like an RPG, like for Final Fantasy 15, for as an example, that game is clearly not finished. And I think they were honestly like, if you guys don't fucking release this game, like, you have to release something now. And I think that's kind of what happened with that game. But I agree. I wish they would have waited another year, just given them another year for the game to have the prompter, like all the storylines they added for all the other boys in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been part of the game from the get-go, because there's a whole section in the game to where, like, Gladiolus leaves. Like, he leaves the right. party, and then you do a couple missions without him, then you come back, and he's like, oh, hey, guys, I ran off to go do something. It's like, well, what did you actually do? Do. And it's like, find out in the Gladiolus DLC coming out 6 months from now. It's like,
yeah, that's
weird.
That just should have been
like where the game like takes off and goes into a different trail, and you just play as that character and you do whatever those missions are for him, and then you meet back with the party later. But yeah, so it's like a bittersweet feeling because I love the idea of like being able to add on more content to a game after it's been released. Like Zelda Breath of the Wild, for example, was like a fully done and realized game, like from start to finish. I put in close to like 100 hours into that game.
Oh my
God. Yeah, just doing all this little shit, but I put in a ton of hours into that game. And they added a major story DLC pack that just came out at the end of the year. And then earlier in the year, they added another one that was like a bunch of other missions that you can do, which is pretty cool. So I think it's all like, it all kind of depends on, I think, how transparent companies are about this stuff.
Right.
Some of them are less transparent than others, because Final Fantasy was very, it was like, this game isn't done. Like, this is clearly
not finished.
This game is not finished. And yeah, and they're still making shit for the game. I'm like, let it die and focus on this fucking Final Fantasy VII remake.
That's what was in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Kingdom Hearts 3, please.
Truly. Yeah. That's what was so annoying about it, because it's like, why was there a movie? Why was there an anime? Like, just put this in the game. Like,
yeah, just make it a game.
Kingsglaive could have been the like beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And I like easily. And I'm just like, I don't understand why this was like, I mean, did I buy it? Yes. Like, but still, that's besides the
yeah. But that's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. You're absolutely right. So speaking of things I bought really quick, I also just wanted to let your listeners know that I bought I went to Amoeba and I bought Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, because why not? And
right.
I also bought The Spirits Within, because I have not fully seen the movie. Like, I've seen parts of it, but my plan is actually, after we finish this, I'm going to watch it with a bunch of rosé. So
perfect. You should live tweet that.
Oh, I actually might do that. I think that'll be great. Oh my God.
That would be hilarious.
Yes. Bonus episode. Okay. Sorry.
And that's is that all that you got when you were at Amoeba?
Well, I also got Beyonce related things. So I got the I Am Yours concert, like the one that's like in Vegas, and then I got the Beyonce experience because I had it and lost it. And then, I'm so sorry for that, Beyonce. And then I've been giving this bitch so much of my money this week. God damn. And then I also bought my favorite movie of all time, which is Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley, directed by Joe Wright. I love that movie more than I love food. I love it.
Oh, have I seen that? I don't think I've seen that. Is that streaming anywhere? Do you know?
No, it's not. That's why I bought it, because you can't stream it anywhere. Like, okay. I just love when he's just like, "You have bewitched me, body and soul." And
bewitched my body and soul.
My body and soul. And she's just like, "You are the last man on earth that I will ever be prevailed upon to marry." And I'm just like, yes. Drag him, sis. Yes.
Drag him, yes.
Elizabeth is that bitch. I love her so much. But yeah,
I'll have to look into that. I'll have to look. My Brandon probably has that. They have a shit ton of movies, so I'll have to raid his movie collection to see if he.
Let me know what you have, because I'm curious, like, to see
I'll let you know. I'll let you know. He's got a bunch of stuff. Like, if it's not here, it's at his mom's house, which is like down the street. So we'll just go over there and raid it.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Oh no, it's actually great. It's
actually yikes.
Yeah, but no, but in some cases, it's like, that's a little bit too close to be all in your business.
Yeah, because people can just come knock on the door and you're like, I'm douching. It's your mama. Oh, sorry, mom. you never know.
You never know. You're trying to fleet and then your mom shows up.
Oh my God. Can I tell a really quick fleeting story? This is so embarrassing, but... Oh my God. So, I bought one, this week, and, I might have used it at work. And I might have left it on the counter at work. And I might have gotten a text asking what it is after I left work from someone that went into my job.
Oh my God.
Very, very awkward conversation.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So then I grabbed it and like I drove back and I got it And then I went to the gym and, you know, because I was like, I need to just work out all of this stress. And I put it in my gym bag. And what's even worse is I forgot to put the cap on it. So, DJ, all of the water spilled out. I'll send you the picture after we finish recording. All of the water, actually, I'll send it to you right now. The water spilled out in my gym bag and ruined everything. And then when I put my hand in there, it was just a bag full of like wet ass water.
It was gross. Oh my sweet merciful Jesus Christ.
Truly, I needed him that day because what I'm sending you is a picture of the wet box that all the water. I'm not sending you a picture of that other stuff because that's gross, but
yeah.
It was that wet.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So.
Yikes. Oh my god. Oh man.
Well, fuck my drag, right? Like.
Well, fuck my bag though, right? Yeah.
What a mess. Anyway.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Is this the part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching so we can get this embarrassing story out of my mind that I just gave you voluntarily?
tell our listeners what you've been watching.
So I've been watching actually quite a bit. So I'm not going to go down the list. Mm-hmm. So I finished Fate Apocrypha when that finished, and I tried to do Fate Extra, and I just couldn't. I'm like a huge Fate fan, and I watch Fate lore videos when I'm bored and whatever. But so I finished that. There's a Netflix show. Actually, Netflix animes are actually pretty good. I've been pretty into them.
Yeah.
There's a show called Aiko, AICO, mm-hmm. and it's about this girl who has a mechanical body-ish thing. And, they're trying to take her to this place to, I don't know how to explain it. She just has, her body's, not real. And she finds out that it's not real. And, there's this, material that kind of looks like flesh mixed with, an enema, put together. And, these people are trying to, kill the flesh that's growing out of control or whatever. So that's pretty cool. I still don't know what the objective of the anime is yet, so I don't know if that's bad or good. I don't know what they're trying to do. And then I finished the show called Be the Beginning, which I absolutely loved. It's this mystery type anime on Netflix that has to do with supernatural elements, and there's these crimes happening, but there's something happening beneath the surface. I thought it was so good. Then I watched Children of the Whales, or the first episode of it, which is another anime on Netflix. Then I watched the first episode of Citrus, but I stopped it because it was a little bit
It's Citrus. I watched the first episode of Citrus and it was just
a lot. Yeah, it was definitely sexual assault. So I was just
not consensual at all.
And
not okay.
And it wasn't even I watched it because I know you guys had talked about it, and I thought it was gonna be she kisses her type of thing, and she's surprised. It's for real, she's holding her.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I was like, yeah, not gonna, no.
Yeah,
I'm not
that's
gonna watch the rest of this. This is not
too okay. much. Then there's Boruto, which do you watch, by the way?
I stopped watching it after the 10th episode because it was so fucking boring.
Are you kidding?
But I heard that it picked up, so I'm gonna pick it back up so that I can watch it, and I heard that it's gotten really good. I'm excited to watch it.
I'm so confused by people that say that they feel like it's boring because I love slice of Naruto stuff. I want more of it. I just thought it was so, and they animated the Naruto Gaiden where it was Sakura fighting, and they did my girl Justice-ish and Justice for Sakura. I will start that movement.
Yes.
Then I watched The Garden of Sinners, which is called Kara no Kyokai in Japanese, which is another Nasu verse Kinoko Nasu thing, which is in the same universe as Fate Stay Night. Or not in the same in the same universe as Fate Stay Night. Mm-hmm. But you don't see any of the Fate Stay Night characters. And then I saved this one for last. Darling in the Franks.
In the motherfucking Franks.
Because, did you watch this week's episode?
Did I watch this week's episode? When do they, they air on Saturdays, right?
They air on Saturdays at 9 on Crunchyroll.
I haven't watched this week's. I've watched everything else up until this week's episode.
That, okay, so, like, the show is like, so I'm so conflicted by it, right? As you guys were saying,
I am too.
It's like, it's Trigger and A1, so I want to give it like the benefit of the doubt, but it's just so heterosexual, like aggressively. I was talking to Ruben and I was like, you know how people are always like, oh, the straight people are always like, oh, gay people have an agenda and they're pushing it on you. Like, no, it's actually the opposite. Like,
yeah,
straight people have an agenda and it's literally in the form of Darling in the Franks. Like,
yeah.
And then also, yeah, like, Kim Kardashian was like, her pink hair was inspired by 02. And I was like, girl, was it though?
Yeah.
Was it? I DM'd her, actually. I sent a DM to Kim Kardashian, and I said, when did you start watching this show? And she didn't answer me.
Of course she did, because she was shook. She was like, oh.
Fake
like,
bitch.
The Rakeem Cunningham is coming for me and coming for my neck about anime.
Because she thought Blue Ivy sent me. She was like, nope, I absolutely won't do it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then on top of that, though, like, it's just the way that they're in the mech suits, which you guys talked about, and, yeah, like, just how the female character, like Ichigo, like how she's so like dependent on the main character and she's like this badass. And it's just like her character doesn't have any kind of development like outside of that.
Yeah.
And how, I don't know. But on the other hand, the plot line is getting really interesting.
The story is really interesting, which that's what's keeping me into the show. Cause it's like from the outset, I'm like, God damn it. Like, It's doing that thing to where it's like, this is only a show that I would potentially recommend to people that like have been watching anime
for a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. Like, Brandon would not watch this.
Oh, he doesn't watch anime?
Well, he's not super big into anime. Like, he's watched the stuff like Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball, like anything that's kind of been on television. He's seen that stuff, and we watch stuff together that I like pick, that I hand pick, that we watch.
So that, like, he can handle.
Like, we watched Yuri on Ice together. We're watching we're watching My Little Witch Academia together. We watched Erased together.
Flawless.
Yeah, perfect. Like, well, literally perfect.
Well, not the ending, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. What else have we watched together? We watched a couple other things together too. But yeah, and we watch a lot of like anime movies together, just because they're one and done. So,
which ones? Like,
We watched Your Name together, and we watched because he hasn't seen many of the Miyazaki films, so we watched Spirited Away.
Ooh.
And which is like one of my all time favorite movies.
You're such a good fiance, like,
yeah. I try to be like, there's a lot of shitty anime out there. I mean, much like there's a lot of shitty content in general out there. So let me like spoon feed you the good high quality shit. So that you have, like, you know, like a very like highbrow taste of what you should be watching.
Yes.
And then don't come to me when you just see me on the iPad with my headphones in, looking like watching garbage. Like, don't ask me about this.
Right.
Like,
if I'm watching,
don't ask me about Darling in the Franks. Like, don't.
If I'm watching Sword Art Online season 2, don't ask me anything about that. You know, like,
yeah, like, we're not gonna talk about it. We're not gonna talk about the second half of Sword Art Online.
Period. I don't even know what I'm talking about. What second season of Sword Art Online? What am I talking about?
See, exactly.
Like, what? I have a suggestion for y'all. Have you seen Wolf Children?
So I have a story about Wolf Children. So I saw Wolf Children a couple years, like 2 years ago, and like a little over 2 years ago, and this was like before I met Brandon. Like, it was when I saw it, and I was with my ex at the time, and we were in the city. We were in San Francisco, and it was like in the middle of the summer, and we were at the park in the city, and we were just like, you know, being gay.
In
the park where nobody's wearing like shirts or anything. We're all at Dolores Park, just like, oh my god, let's drink and like not wear clothes. And even though like I should probably have had a shirt on at the time, but
no, own it. You can wear whatever the fuck you want.
So, but I said that I should have worn a shirt because of what happens after that is because I didn't really drink enough water, so I got a really bad heat rash that day. So we stayed at my friend's house who we were at his place and we were just like watching movies or whatever, and like the heat rash was like so bad and they had leather couches. So, like, we were trying to, like, watch a movie, but I couldn't watch a movie because, like, my back was literally on fire.
Sis, from, like, you had a heat rash on a leather
It was so bad. And we watched Wolf Children. And I was so miserable the whole time. So, I didn't like it when I saw it because it's probably because I was, like, having a miserable time. So, I want to watch it again to see if I like it. And I will watch it with Brandon and see what he thinks.
Yeah, and don't watch it with a fucking heat rash. Fix it, yeah, Jesus. What the mess?
It was so bad. It was the worst
that day ever. Sounds like torture, actually. Mm-hmm. Like,
it actually was.
That's cruel and unusual punishment. I am so sorry.
It was really bad. But, yeah.
What have you been watching?
Yes, what have I been watching?
What have you been watching?
I have been watching Cardcaptor Sakura because it is so sweet and like pure and just wonderful, and it's my sleepy time anime. So I typically watch it before I go to bed.
Because
it's like it's so easygoing and like just like nice to watch and it's cute.
Is it bad that I dropped it?
No,
I mean it was just like okay, like yeah, nostalgia over. Like
it hasn't really like it's still very much like. This is the card of the day, and it's been like this is the card of the day very much for the past 10 episodes. So I know that the plot is going to pick up because they keep like alluding to it every other episode. They're like, we can't, like, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. So I'm like waiting for this part of the show to pick up. But I can definitely see why some people are dropping it just because it hasn't like the momentum hasn't ramped up.
Yeah, like it's not bad. It's just like, okay, like
it's a little it can be a little boring. Like that it's like my perfect little sleepy time anime. So I just watch that before I go to bed. I finished recently this other Netflix anime that's based off of a manga. It's called Kakeguri, which is really good. It's about like
it's the gambling one, right?
The gambling one, yeah, it's the gambling one, and it. The ending of season one kind of sucked really bad.
Oh no!
Because it's like it's an obvious setup for like another season, but it was just so underwhelming because the build up to it was like I'm like oh shit it's going down it's about to go down and then it happened and it was like the first half of the episode and like the rest of the episode was just kind of like whatever. Oh. But yeah, so the ending was kind of trash, but like I enjoyed all the rest of it. It was really good. It's streaming on Netflix. It's about this high school that their whole thing is gambling. And, like, that's kind of, like the social status in the school is, like, how much money you have. And if you are so much in debt, you become, like, a pet. Like, people call you, like, a dog and all this other shit. And the girls are cats and everything. So it's really kind of fucked up. But, and the girl is crazy. The main character is really, really interesting. And then I saw, since it was based off of a manga, I went to Barnes & Noble the other day just to go see what they had in the manga section. And I saw the manga, and it looks just, the art from the TV show looks a lot like the manga, which is pretty cool. Because
that's great.
When you, it's like, you know that sometimes when you, like, you read a comic, and then you're like, oh, the art's really beautiful in the comic. And then you watch the TV series, and you're like, what happened? But it looks pretty. It looks pretty similar. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in the second season. I would recommend it. Again, I would recommend it to more seasoned anime viewers to watch Kakeguri. But it's not for like new anime watchers.
I watched the trailer for it last night, and I was going to watch one episode before I went to bed, but I had to be up really early this morning, and I made a plan to watch it before we recorded our next episode of the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, okay, well, now I really have to check it out. But did you find it like entertaining at all? Because I thought
I thought it was great. Okay. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. The ending of the first season kind of sucks.
Okay.
But I enjoyed every bit of it that I watched.
Okay, because I was just like, a show about gambling. I don't know, but
it's kind of lit. It's really the stuff that they do is kind of lit. I really liked it.
Okay, well now I'm convinced. If DJ likes it, I will watch it.
Because there were times where I was like, wig, like,
it was... wig. I know that. I feel yes, that. I understand I that. That.
Yes. This wig. Is for us.
This yeah, is for this us. Is for us. For us by us. Oh my god.
Other than that, I started watching, finally I started watching Little Witch Academia. It is so good.
Is it?
It's so cute. It's so good. It's Trigger. It's really, really good. I didn't realize.
Oh, I thought you said you're triggered. I was like, by what?
No.
It's,
No. It's a Studio Trigger, I should have said.
Got it.
Yeah, Studio Trigger is animating it. It's really fun. I really like it a lot. I think you'd really enjoy it too. It's beautifully animated.
Ooh.
And I didn't know that there was also a dub, and the dub is really good. So I've been watching that. I was watching the dub of that while I'm working, because I can't watch subtitled anime while I'm trying to work because I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right.
So fortunately, the dub for Little Witch Academia is really good. So I've been watching that. And then I kept seeing Seven Deadly Sins, like, everywhere. Like, everybody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I know they're making a game for Seven Deadly Sins. And I started watching it. I watched the first episode, and I really liked it.
Of the first season?
The first episode of the first season of Seven Deadly Sins. I started watching it. There's also a dub of that, so I was watching that. Just because when I was at work, I'm, like, half paying attention to, like, conversations happening around me. And then, like...
Go off.
Yeah. So, I was watching that at work. And it's really good. It's like a very like shonen anime, like a Naruto.
I've seen it actually. It's very good.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like what I watched. The art's really good. Mm-hmm. I like the girl. I guess that's the princess with the gray hair. She's
cool. Elizabeth. She's Elizabeth. Great.
Yeah. So I'm excited to kind of dig into that a little bit deeper and start watching more of that. But that's kind of what's been on my plate in terms of anime. But did I talk about what I was playing? Yeah, I did.
You sure did. Seven Deadly Sins is really good because it's one of those shows that like progressively builds, but you're not like it doesn't feel like it's taking forever to kind of get there. Like I felt like there was something interesting going on every episode, which was great, yeah. And even episodes that seemed really silly had like a point to them, which was really great. And I don't know. I will just say I am very happy that there's so much good anime coming out, like, and like so many good anime shows, because it's just I just feel like I don't know. I was thinking about this yesterday, like when I texted you that video about the people guessing the anime openings. Like I am very very appreciative of anime right now. Yeah. And I'm just very happy about the art form, and I don't know. I'm really hoping. I'll ask you this: is there anything that you're like really waiting for? Because I'm waiting for Attack on Titan season 3. Because I read the manga, and I cannot wait to see what's about to be animated.
I'm waiting for My Hero Academia season 3. I cannot wait.
That starts on my birthday. I was like,
bitch,
what a gift!
That is the best fucking birthday present you could ask for.
What my a God. Gift! Do you read the manga of that too, or no?
I have every issue of the manga that's out in the U.S. I haven't read it, but I've bought all of it just so I can have it because I love the art.
The season that you're about to get is where so the show was already great. It's about to become excellent.
I heard that's kind of where it goes off the rails in this upcoming season, so I'm really excited about
that. The only thing I have to say about this season is wig. You are about... to be snatched.
And it's going to be flawless. 25 episodes. It's going to be 25 fucking episodes.
It's flawless. Truly flaw-free.
I am so excited. I'm so excited. I cannot wait. I read
80 chapters of My Hero Academia in one day. Like, because it was that good. Like, it's flawless.
And that's another show that Brandon and I have watched together, too. Because I'm like, you've got to watch this. Because he grew up with, like, reading, like, he loves, like, Marvel stuff. So, like, he grew up reading X-Men and all that stuff. So... what's great about us together as a unit is that I have, like, all, like, the Japanese bullshit, and then he has all, like, the Marvel DC bullshit, so we kind of come together and, like, share the shit that we're super into, which has been really fun, so. And he really gravitated to My Hero, because I think it has such a really close sensibility to, like, Western comics, and especially X-Men. So there's a lot of like parallels with like, oh, they're like, they go to the school and they all have all these powers and all this other stuff. So I think just that prep, that alone, he was already interested in that. And the same thing with Little Witch Academia, he loves Harry Potter. So anything that has like wizards and magic in it, he's
down.
He's down.
What about Black Clover?
Yeah, so I've been meaning to get him into Black Clover because I think he would really like that too.
Trash.
Is it bad? Do you not like it?
Have you seen it?
I've seen like 8 episodes of the anime, and I liked what I watched for the most of it. I hate the main character's fucking voice.
That's what I was about to say. How are you not deaf? Because it's like I heard the voice is bad. And I was like, absolutely not. And then I went to Reddit and people were like, if you think his voice is going to calm down, it's not. So yeah. I said, nope, not watching this. So trash, you know. So
yeah, the voice,
just as I thought, trash. Like, I was just like, that can go.
Yeah, but to kind of like go back to what you were saying about how like appreciative you are of the art form, I am too, which for a couple of years, I've been like super, like kind of like jaded and kind of like frustrated with a lot of anime because a lot of the stuff didn't really interest me. Because I watched all of Naruto because I fucking loved it. And there wasn't a whole lot of other shows that I really gravitated towards that I really liked, but there was so much, I felt like for me anyway, that when I was younger, there was so much more that I liked. But then when I think about it, everything that I liked is pretty much was what was available.
Right.
Because all of that stuff was so hard to get. And so now we're living in a world to where like there is literally anime at your fingertips on all these different media platforms, on Netflix, on Hulu, on Crunchyroll, and Funimation, and Amazon. There's like stuff everywhere. So I can see how for someone that is like interested in anime but like doesn't know where to start can be overwhelmed by like the myriad of things that are available and not knowing like what's good versus what's bad. So like you can watch a show and you're like, this is kind of fucking stupid. It's like, and then like, is all anime like this? And then it's like, no, it's not. Like, there's so much good in this medium, in this art form, that I want more people to see.
I'm super
happy that I've just been like, you know what? I'm just gonna go through and find something and give it a shot, or just get more recommendations. And I'm really glad that I have Ruben because he watches everything, and I just don't have time to watch all that stuff anymore. So like, I have this fucking comic that I'm working on top of working a part-time job and then like trying to maintain some sort of a social life. And like, I kind of have to pick and choose my shows. So like, Ruben's been really great, and he is kind of like the sounding board for me as to what like I should or shouldn't watch.
That was shade, but go off. You were just like, so Ruben's bum ass. Like,
but he's busy too. He's very busy too, but he watches way more than I do.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I have him to kind of like help me sift through all the stuff, because I used to be that person that watches everything, but like I'm just not anymore. And
it's hard.
I also watch a lot of live action shows now too. Like I watch like Riverdale and all this other like bullshit that's on TV right now. But
through Riverdale.
There's too much stuff to consume.
Truly.
Which is a great problem to have.
Are you excited about Infinity War?
Oh yeah, I'm juiced. I'm so excited about Infinity War. I'm really looking forward to that.
Cannot wait. I am a huge Marvel MCU fanboy.
Yeah.
So that trailer, I was just like, if you told me that we were going to be seeing Spider-Man talking to Doctor Strange and then Thanos, like
Would you say wig?
Wig. Wig. With multiple G's. Wig. Because it's just like, I don't have words. Like, I'm trying to form them. But when I tell you, I just feel like, I feel seen. I feel heard. I feel appreciated.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, battling in Wakanda, like, I know the Wakandans have to be pissed. Like, we open up our borders and then this motherfucker, like,
and
comes.
And all these fucking white people came over here. And
like, trash. I know they were just like, y'all should have listened and just kept the borders closed. But
right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too. I love all the MCU stuff. That's kind of been my biggest exposure to Marvel stuff was through all the movies.
Mm.
So that's... I like all that content. I like all of that stuff a lot. I think of my favorite Marvel movies right now at this point, like, obviously number one is Black Panther.
Yes, the strength of the Black Panther, is stripped away.
Black Panther's number one for me for sure. Then right after that is Civil War. I really like that a lot.
Okay.
And Thor Ragnarok is also one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really enjoyed those movies.
So. They have plenty of great movies. Like, so I would say Black Panther, Winter Soldier, Ragnarok, Homecoming, and then maybe Civil War. But they've all been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not Thor 2, but we don't talk about that.
Alrighty. So why don't we take a tiny little break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about Toys R Us and the sad news surrounding that.
Womp womp womp.
Womp womp womp. Hey, we're back, and we are talking about Toys R Us. So, if you guys haven't heard the news, Toys R Us is shutting down, which is kind of sad, just because it's more parts of our generation that's kind of like our childhood's going away.
Mm-hmm.
With the internet being a thing and e-commerce being so huge, e-commerce mainly being Amazon being such a huge giant of getting anything you want, whenever you want, in 2 days.
Like, immediately, yeah.
Immediately, or sometimes within 2 hours. It's kind of putting a lot of big box retailers out of business. And especially ones that haven't, like, shifted quick enough to kind of stay relevant today. So, like, I feel like places like Target and Best Buy and Walmart and stuff like that, those stores are still kind of like flexing into where it makes sense to still shop there today. But I feel like Toys R Us specifically has had like such a hard time like somehow making it in this day and age with Amazon being a thing. And especially with the fact that like kids these days are more geared towards like digital toys. So like iPads and then
right.
apps and games and stuff like that. They're not buying toys like they used to. So, Toys R Us is going, and which is really sad. And the thing that I'm the most sad about with Toys R Us leaving is primarily just so many people losing their jobs from
right.
this. Because they're going to be closing the majority of their stores down pretty quickly. Like, this news just came out, earlier this week?
Right.
And they said that within, the next 60 days, they're going to be closing down the majority of their stores.
Wait, do you know how many people are going to be losing their jobs, though? Like,
roughly, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's like roughly 30,000 people.
Wow.
Which is a shit ton of people.
But you know, though, that's actually a lot. I mean, not saying this is good, but that's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. But that just goes to show how obsolete it's become. And partially because of Amazon and the internet, but also because a lot of these stores have, these expansive toy sections now that include, everything. Toys R Us used to have, a lot of, exclusive stuff now, or exclusive stuff. But, I mean, Target has a lot of that, and so does Walmart. And I remember, when KB Toys was a thing, if y'all had that. And it's just, that's insane. But it's also kind of sad that kids don't play with, toys now. I don't know. I'm not going to be one of those people that's, oh, well, my generation or whatever. But it is kind of weird to me that, kids that are, 6 and 7 have like iPads and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't get my phone till I was like 15. And then right. it was like, my mom was like, you're not getting Snake on it. It's only because you're riding the bus. Right. And if I see you calling anybody else before 9, like, I'm going to beat your ass. And so to see Toys R Us, which was such a staple in my childhood, specifically same. Because, yeah, like, so, like, my dad passed away when I was 4. And before he passed away, we would always take these trips to Toys R Us. And so, to yeah. me, it's something, like, very special and, yeah. like, this, like, real, like, sacred place. And it was this place where I know when we went, no matter who I went with, it was like this really like happy safe, it was almost like my first safe space almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to kind of see it going out of business is just really crazy, especially because in a lot of communities of color, like, that was really where you went, you know, to be a yeah. kid, and you didn't have to have like these preconceived like stereotypes or whatever like mm-hmm. placed on you. So to see it yeah. go out of business is really sad. And yeah. It still hasn't. I think I actually might just go just to like buy some stuff there, like,
yeah,
just because, like, give them some money before, because they really deserve.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Like, it's that was, I feel like Toys R Us was before I discovered Babbage's, which is now GameStop, was part of so much of my like formative years as a kid of like going to Toys R Us. And because I, like, I still remember this. I remember when I was, like, I think I couldn't have been more than 6. I remember going to Toys R Us specifically to get Super Mario 3. I remember going aww. To Toys R Us, and I remember, like, running to the game section and, like, going to get the slip. Because, like, I still stand by the slip system. I think the slip system was amazing.
What is that?
So, in Toys R Us, when you would go to the video game section, you would just see, like, a picture of the game box.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then you would see the price, and there'd be, like, a little slip of paper that had, yes. the price, that had the name of the game, the price, on it. And then you would take the slip, and you would go to the counter, and they would give you the game.
Yes.
And if they didn't have the slip, you knew the game was either sold out or they hadn't replenished the slip. So you would always still go and check either way to see if they had the game in stock or not. So I remember getting the slip and then taking it to the counter and getting my copy of Mario 3 and just, like, looking, like, ripping open the box and, like, reading the instruction booklet on the way home. Like, and that was when, like, game instruction manuals
were a thing.
Like, were, like, multi-page things that were, like, well-designed, had tons of art in it, all the controls, how to play the game, a couple tips and tricks and all that stuff. When those were, like, that was, like, the car experience on the way home was, like, reading the instructions.
Reading the books.
Like, before you got to film and play it. And there was something so special about that because it was like, yes, like, I'm holding the thing in my hand and I'm going to go to the counter. They're going to give me the thing that I really, really want. And that was, like, until probably, what, I was, like, 13 or 14, that was kind of what Toys R Us was like. And then I discovered GameStop. Well, now GameStop. At the time, it was Babbage's. And then it became GameStop in the future. And that's where I kind of shopped going forward because yeah. GameStop would have all the games, while Toys R Us wouldn't always have the games, the new games on release day. They would get them a couple days later.
Later.
Mm-hmm. So I would just go. And that was when, like, distribution was, like, issues were a thing. Like, the company would make X amount of copies of games and certain retailers would get them and some wouldn't. So the video game stores, I knew for a fact, would always get the games on the release date. So I would shop there instead. But I just remember, like, I think I got my Super Nintendo at Toys R Us. I got the Super Scope for the Super Nintendo at Toys
wow.
R Us.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, like, there were a lots of, like, big, like, milestones for me in terms of, like, my formative years of gaming that happened through Toys R Us. So it's, like, really sad to see that part of our childhood going away. But it's one of those things where it's like, well, if you can't adapt to the market of what things are today, like, how can you compete?
I don't even know if it's even like them not adapting to the market. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's nothing they could do because it's right. like, you know what I mean? Like, unless mm-hmm. Toys R Us started selling like iPads and all that stuff, but like, even then, like, you're not gonna go to Toys R Us for that. Like, it's a kid store, right. and I right. think kids don't do what they like, kids don't go outside anymore, right. so it's just like there's really nothing that they could have. You would think that toys would be, like, the one industry that you can invest in, and it's, like, a safe like a safe mm-hmm. way to make money, but it's not.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That's insane to me. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. It like you were saying, I remember when I got the Majora's Mask and I got my expansion yeah. pack from Toys R Us, and I was like the happiest kid ever. When I got memory cards from there, when I got mm-hmm. when I would buy game guides like from there, mm-hmm. like I remember I got like a Kingdom Hearts guide from Toys R Us or something like yeah. that. Yeah. And like I remember when you were saying with the booklets, like when I got Kingdom Hearts, and I remember I was reading the booklet and like just being so excited and thinking like, oh, I can't wait to go to Toys R Us like to get the guide for this, or like
yeah.
and it's just that's just not a thing. Like that's right. insane. So wow.
It's crazy. Like what's changed, like how things have shifted to and, like all these digital formats. And like the digital space is great because I feel like what it's doing for kids, especially kids want to get into coding and making apps right. and all that stuff too, which is so cool to see. Because like if I were a kid, I would totally be into that. Like I don't know the first thing about coding, so like it's so cool to see them being exposed to that at such a young age. But like Legos are dope. Like
they are.
Legos are amazing. But I guess people that are super into Legos still go to the Lego store because those stores are always busy.
I didn't even know there was such. What is that? I didn't even know there were Lego stores.
Yeah, like the Lego stores are legit. So like the Lego stores are really cool because they have all the different kits, like of like the sets of things that you can build, and they have like some like limited edition ones that you can only get at the Lego stores. So you can get all those like 80 to 150 piece sets of things and like buy those sets there. And they also have this giant wall just like Lego pieces, all color coordinated. So like, here's a jug of blue pieces. Here's a jug of red ones, green ones, purple ones, whatever. And you could just go and like get these giant like big gulp size cups and fill them with Lego pieces.
So that's what's up. I Googled it and there's one 12 miles from my house.
You're going to be going to the Lego store?
I will be going there. Yes, I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to send it to y'all so you can see it.
They're really cool. So what me and my old roommates have done before in the past, like I still have them. So we would go to the Lego stores and we would like look up like video game sprites, like 8-bit and 16-bit video game sprites, and see if we could build them with Legos. And ooh. Me and my roommates built like the 1-Up Mushrooms from Mario. We even built a Link figure from based off the sprite art from A Link to the Past. Like, hold on, I'll actually go get it. Hold on.
Oh, please do, because I would like to see this, please. Thank you.
Yeah, like we built this shit with Legos. It's so fucking cool. Yeah, so we would go there. We stayed there for like 2 hours building this stuff, but yeah, we even built
you know your video's not on, right? So I can't see it.
I'm gonna turn it on right now.
So oh, okay.
Yeah, so like we built that at the Lego store.
Oh my god.
Like it's not fucking dope.
Wow, you get to keep it?
Yeah, yeah. And the guy was really cool with us because he charged us by the cup. So he only charged us for like 2 cups like of Legos. So we only paid like $30 to build. We paid like $30 to build that. Even though we probably used way more Legos than that.
Oh, but my god! I think
it was because like the guy was like was a gamer too, so he was like, "Oh, that's fucking tight," and he was just cool about it.
That's amazing. I didn't even realize that. Okay, that's a cool date spot. Honestly,
no, it was cool because it was me and my old roommates and and my ex, and this is one of the things that I got in the divorce from the ex.
Oh my god. See, gamers, we gave you a little cool date suck.
Yeah.
Go do that.
Go to the Lego store, build like a 1-Up Mushroom together, build a Mario, an 8-bit Mario sprite, like go do it. It's a really fun, interactive date thing to do.
You're better than me. I was gonna say build like a dick or
you could build a dick.
You know, build a dick. And then,
yeah,
and you know, build a dick and then send your emails of the pictures of them to what's y'all's email?
to magicalboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Bingo. We want to see your Lego dicks.
Yes.
They're fucky. See them. Am I doing Ruben justice? I want to see your fucky dicks.
Yeah, we want to see those fucky dicks. We want to see them.
We sure do.
We want to see them. But yeah, I'm super bummed out about Toys R Us going out of business. I lightweight and really interested to see like what the liquidation sales are going to be like, because I might stock up on some of the other amiibos that I didn't get.
Oh my god, that's a smart thing. They're going to probably mark off so many of their. Mm-hmm. Oh, you are so smart, bitch.
Okay, for a sale, girl.
So listen, let me take a trip down there, because there's a Toys R Us 10 minutes from my house. Let me take a trip. Like,
yeah, I would go and kind of like keep an eye, be like, so, what's going on sale up in here?
I'm going to walk in there and be like, what kind of sales do y'all got? Like, get it? Wakanda sales do y'all got?
Wakanda sales. I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
I see what you did there. That is a good joke. It makes the ancestors proud.
But do you have any parting thoughts about Toys R Us and your childhood experience regarding Toys R Us? And
they're dead.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, girl. Nice knowing you.
Just like Toys R Us, my childhood is dead. That is all. That is all.
That is all.
That Toys is all. Is dead. I have no other words to add. That is all I have to say.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's going to kind of wrap us up for this episode of The Magical Boys, featuring the one and only Rakeem Cunningham from Podcast of Color. So what we always like to do at the end of the show, I mean, you know, because we've done this before, mm-hmm. Where can everyone find you and yourself? What things you have coming up? What's going on? Well, where can all of our listeners come find you and all of your good stuff?
Yeah, well, you can find me on Instagram at Rakeem C. That's RAKEEMC. You can find me on Twitter at Blue Keyblade. You can find me. Actually, that's the only show I'm going to say on the show. And yeah, and then Podcast of Color comes out every Tuesday. And that's pretty much it.
Give them a little rundown of what Podcast of Color is about.
Yeah, well, Podcast of Color is a show where four trash bags of color come together to make sense of the world. We just come together and talk a lot about like politics and pop culture that happens that week, and then each week we do like a discourse, which is kind of us talking about like one subject at length, and then we answer, you know, like questions from y'all. So if you want to, you know, give a listen, do that. We are currently, I think we actually have a almost have a date DJ, because DJ is going to be on the show too.
Yes. So I cannot wait.
Yes. So there are some logistic things that I'll talk to you about after, but cool. But yeah, but in terms of what I'm doing, I can't say yet because contracts.
Yeah. Well, I will say this on your behalf that can I give you like a mini honey roast right now?
Oh, sure. Okay. Oh my god.
Yeah, because I'm gonna give you guys like the whole group one, like when I come on the show.
Because, yeah, fuck them. They're like, trash. Okay.
You.
This is about me.
It's amazing.
And so, my praise.
This is about you. So this is all about you right now. So I really just want to say, like, I am so happy that I came across your guys' podcast. It is so good. I have like a super long commute to work. I have to like drive like 45 minutes to an hour to get to work every day. And like every Tuesday, like I know that like my morning commute is going to be way more enjoyable because I have like the four of you in my ear, like on my way to work, I'm in traffic, and it just sounds like that I'm listening to like four of like my friends just like talking shit and like talking about really important stuff. And it's been so amazing to like listen to the stuff that you guys talk about, and like honestly your show and the stuff that you guys talk about a lot, like with all four of you, and I'll say this again when I come on your guys' show, like the show has gotten me to kind of rethink my own thinking when it comes to certain topics that you guys are talking about.
Aww.
And it's really gotten me to think about certain things, and just really briefly this with John, like, it's even gotten me thinking about, like, how I deal with my own gender identity and expression. Mm. Like, I still identify as a cis gay man, but, like, I feel like I'm, like, I don't think of myself as, like, super mask, and I don't think of myself as, like, very femme or anything. I think of myself as kind of floating in this ether of, like, gender expression. And I really, like, love hearing his perspective on things. But, like, you guys have, like, honestly made me think about things that I didn't normally think about before, that I really should have been thinking about before. And it's just been an awesome experience listening to you guys, like, talk, and watching the show transform and change has been amazing. And I'm like, I will stand forever. I stand forever.
Thank you.
The show is so great. You guys do a really good job. I love it. Absolutely love it. It's what I look forward to every Tuesday. I hear you guys.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to give you a quick honey roast too then. And I'm just going to say that. No, I really am. And I'm going to say to you and Ruben that, like, this show makes me, and I know a lot of other people that are nerds, and especially, like, nerds of color, and especially, like, black nerds, yeah, feel seen, and especially, mm-hmm, like, gay nerds, because I think a lot of times, I know growing up for me, I was always picked on for being nerdy, I was picked on for, yep, liking anime, I was picked on for, you know, having a J-pop list on my phone, yeah, like, I was picked, mm-hmm, out, I, like, picked, mm-hmm, on for all kinds of things, and so I remember searching for a show, like, I actually found you guys, because I was searching for anime podcast that, mm-hmm, was by queer people.
Yeah.
And I forgot how or who suggested me or whatever, but I just remember listening and just being like, oh my God, like, this is so special, and it's so important. Yeah. And I don't think you guys know the amount of people that really are helped by your show. Yeah. And I know that there are people that I talk to about your show all the time. So, like, I've, mm-hmm, gotten them to listen to it, and they've started to get into it too. And I see some of my, mm-hmm, Twitter friends, like, talking to y'all now. And it's just, yeah, you guys are both so special, but also, aww, you're so, and I mean this in a good way too. I don't know if this is going to make sense, but you're so informed about what you're talking about, and, yeah, and you're not, like, one of these people that are, like, out here trying to, like, fake being a nerd, like, for popularity. And I think that's so, yeah, important. Like,
I agree. Yeah.
And so for me, like, I can't talk about this stuff, like, on my show, because nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, John thought Sailor Moon was white, so I was just like, this. So I was like, her name's Usagi, like, she's not white, but, yeah, like, you know, but so I'm really, really grateful for, mm-hmm, all y'all do, and, like, yeah, you truly make my commutes better too, and I'm very, very happy for what you and Ruben do, and for the future of y'all, and I'm happy to see, and I'm really, really excited to see the Magical Boys, like, grow and expand, and
thank you,
and when I'm not broke, I'm gonna get some of y'all's merch, so.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. It's all good. Like, don't even worry about that part of it. But yeah, it's been such, like, an awesome opportunity to do this show and also, like, connect with other, like, queer podcasts and support each other in what it is that we're doing. Because, I mean, you know this, like, we are so quick to, like, write each other off on, right, different things as opposed to, like, really lifting each other up. And I'm glad that we're in a position to where we, like we recognize what each other is doing, and we're like, that's the good shit right there. Let's support and lift up each other. And it's been, like, it's been, like, this really awesome opportunity to do the show, and going to conventions and people are being like, I listen to your podcast and I love it. And I'm like, me, I want to be like, I'm so sorry, because when I'm editing the show and I go back to listen to the show, I'm like, God, I fucking hate the sound of my own fucking voice. But it's been an awesome opportunity to do it, and kind of, I want to echo what you said about us, again, back to you guys and like, in what you guys do being really important. And I love that, like, that all of you don't always agree. And I think that is, like, the biggest part of why I love the show so much, is that it's just not all of you guys, like, yesing each other and are just, like, all in agreement about everything. You guys have different perspectives, and you guys have different thoughts on the same subject, and I think that it's important to recognize that all of us can coexist in the same place and not agree.
Right.
And I think that's, I think that is so important. And it's like, you guys cannot agree and you're all still friends.
Right. Right.
Because there's, because like, you know, I mean, right. With being on social media so much, it's like, if you don't agree, it's like, oh, we're not cool. It's like, well, no, like there's nuance to these conversations. Mm-hmm. And you get to have the nuance when like you're listening to the show, because it's a long form, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
So being able to get that nuance and talk about these things on different levels and the different perspectives that all four of you have is incredible. And it's great because all the four of you are so different. And it's, like, you guys are so different.
We're characters.
And I love that. That's like the part of the show that I love so much, is that you guys are all so different. And it's amazing. And I love that you guys can come for each other and like still are cool at the end of the day. Like, you know, I don't know what happens off the show, of course, but like, you guys still all come together and do it and make it happen. And it's great. I love it. It's what I look forward to every Tuesday. I'm so excited to just like get to be in the conversation with all four of you. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, you have to. It's going to be a mess. So prepare yourself. Like, it's going
to
be a mess.
Yeah. Like, I have so much to say to Bass. I love him.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I cannot wait. Oh, okay. This is going to be great because we have to drag. Because.
Yeah. And. And I do want to say one other thing to you. Like, as someone that's an only child. Like, I've always wanted, like, a brother, and, like, you and one of my really good friends, Nigel, are, like, brothers to me.
Oh, my God, DJ, like, I'm gonna cry. Don't do this.
Don't cry. Like, because it's cool to finally, like be friends with other black nerds that get it, and the other queer black nerds that get it, and, like it's amazing. It's, like, so, like, I, like, want to attach, like, I, like, want to, like, grab down and hold on to that, like, for as long as I possibly can.
Oh, my
can.
God, so, like, stop. I'm emotional.
But I won't hold it up too much longer. But Rakim, thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me last minute. I know I was like, I just texted you the other day and I was like, hey, can you come on the show?
Anytime, I'm down.
Yeah, so thank you so much for coming on today. And again, please follow him, you guys. He's amazing. Your work is incredible.
Thank you.
I want to be shot by you so bad.
Bitch, we'll come down to LA. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, we have to plan an LH. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, yes, we need to figure it out because it's going to be everything.
We'll be here all day. Okay.
But yes, please go follow Rakim on all of his social channels. He's amazing. Follow his work. He is 100% that bitch. And you know where you can always get me. You can hit me up at OheyDJ. That's OheyDJ. That's on Twitter. That's on Instagram. And that's pretty much the only two places that I actually use anything on anyway. So you can follow me there. And please leave us a review in iTunes or Google Play. We really appreciate it. That gives us the energy to continue to make this show happen and for us to, you know, be
not
better.
Not the energy.
It's like a spirit bomb of energy for us to make a better podcast. And, hit us up on social media with your questions about stuff. So we are at The Magical Boys on Twitter. And then email us at Gmail, which is magicalboyspodcast@gmail.com. So we love you. Stay magical, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.